It is so good to be with you and to have a privilege to worship and honor our God on this, the final Lord's Day of 2017. It puts us in a very unique and interesting position as the year draws to a close on the final day with the final hours passing by, those last minutes and seconds ticking away. We're gathered on this final Lord's Day to honor Him. But as we do so, our minds have been trained by our weekly observance of the Lord's Supper to look back to the cross, to look upward to God, to look into His Word, and to look into our souls, and then to look forward. And that's where we find ourselves on this, the last day of the year as well. Looking back over the last year, how we have lived. Looking today at where we stand with God. And then looking forward to what lies ahead for us. It makes me think about the final week of Jesus' life here upon earth. There we are able to view insights into His faithfulness to God. We find there that He gave His life over to the Father when in the garden He prayed, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." Luke 22 and verse 42. We see that He lived for His Master, for earlier in that week, Jesus could not stand to see the Master for whom He was living being ridiculed through the misuse of the temple. And so He entered into the temple and began to drive out those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. But it wasn't enough just to correct the wrong. He had to teach the people. So Matthew records next, or rather Mark records next, that He began to teach them, asking, "Is it not written?" And He quoted His Father, asking, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations'?" But then He had to declare to those who were mistreating and misusing the temple, "But you have made it a robber's den." Mark 11 and verse 17. He couldn't bear to see the Master for whom He was living to be ridiculed by the actions of others. Earlier in His life, He had spoken about His equality with God. In John chapter 5 and verse 19, Jesus said, "The Son can do nothing of Himself unless it is something He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, these things the Son also does," now watch this, "in like manner." Everything He did in His life was according to His Master's will. While Jesus was on trial, though, in that final week, He faced many false accusations and false testimonies. At one point, Pilate even asked Him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" In Matthew 27, verse 13 follows, and it says, "And He did not answer him with regard to even a single charge. So the governor was quite amazed." You see, Jesus lived accountable to God and to God alone. He was not accountable for man's accusations. He was accountable to fulfill the will of God and to fulfill God's purpose. So we see in that final week that Jesus gave His life over, that He lived for His Master, and He lived accountable to His Master. Therefore, I ask this question this morning: would you be willing to die for Jesus? Jesus was willing to die for His Father. And that's what His life of commitment to the Father resulted in. So would you be willing to die for Jesus? I believe that any time that question is asked, we would all agree that we would say yes. Yes, I would die for Jesus. And so often that question is prefaced or has a stipulation that is attached to it, and it usually follows along these lines. If you were in a position with your life on the line, you could deny Jesus and live or confess Jesus and die, would you be willing to die for Jesus? I think, again, we would all say yes. Yes, I would be faithful to Jesus, and I would die for Him. But this brings a bit of concern to my mind, because how many, or might I say how few of us, have ever been in such a position? How many of us have had our life truly on the line and had to face that decision of to live for Jesus or to die for Jesus? Given the day and age in which we live, or at least in our culture, we're likely to never be asked to make that last breath, last moment of life decision. It's easy for us to say then, I would die for Jesus. Especially when we are relatively sure that we won't ever have to do that. Ever made a commitment based upon the reality, or at least the thought, that I'll never have to live up to it? I wonder if that is our commitment to dying for Jesus. So let me present another question to you. If you really are willing to die for Jesus, until called upon to do so, will you live for Him? I want us to look at the life of Paul and see the same three things that we find in Jesus' final week here upon this earth. Looking at the life of Paul, we see that he gave his life over to God, to Jesus, to his Master. In Acts chapter 15, Luke records for us that the council that was gathered there at Jerusalem was listening to Barnabas and Paul as they were relating what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles, the non-Jews, Acts chapter 15, verse 12. And it was decided that based upon the condition and circumstances in which the Jerusalem council had gathered, that a letter needed to be written, a letter that would detail the guidelines for the Gentiles to live a holy life in a pagan culture. Men were selected then to go with Barnabas and Paul to Antioch in order to deliver this letter, Acts chapter 15, verse 22. But Barnabas and Paul are then described in Acts chapter 15 and verse 26 with these words: men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That term risked, rendered as hazarded by the King James Version, means to deliver or to hand over. Paul and Barnabas were selected to deliver this message that would be wonderful news for the Gentiles, the non-Jews, but might disappoint the Jews. These men were selected to carry the letter because they were men who risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. They had given their lives over to Christ and to His mission. And thus, you might recall what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In order to live for Jesus, a person must give his or her life over to Jesus and allow Jesus to live in them. Paul had given his life over. And because he had given his life over, he was living his life for his Master. Paul was driven to dedicate himself to God and to dedicate himself to others. And it would behoove us this morning to consider why he did that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, Paul would begin to explain why it was that in giving his life over to Christ, he also dedicated himself to God and dedicated himself to others. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. What's interesting is that phrase, the love of Christ, in both the Greek and the English, that phrase can imply Christ's love for Paul or Paul's love for Christ. The first, Christ's love for Paul being subjective genitive, while Paul's love for Christ being objective genitive. But what really makes those two genitives interesting is that that phrase can mean both. It can represent Christ's love and Paul's love. You might view it in this way. While Christ's love came first in giving his life for others, Paul responded to that love because of that love with compassion and his own love, for Christ who had shown him love, and his own love for those to whom Christ showed his love. In giving his life over to Christ, Christ was the one who showed Paul how to love. He showed Paul who to love. And Paul followed suit. Most Greek scholars, though, conclude that based on the context and the situation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that Paul is specifically speaking at this time about Christ's love for Paul. Therefore, Christ's love for Paul controlled and governed the direction of Paul's ministry. Christ's love for Paul caused Paul to serve God and to serve other people instead of seeking after his own interests and serving himself. Christ's love for Paul was Paul's motivation to live for Christ and leading then to the conclusion that he stated in verse 15, and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. To live for Jesus, a person must live a life dedicated to God and dedicated to others because the person is motivated by the love Christ has shown in his death and resurrection. Paul was living his life for the master. And Paul was also living his life accountable to his master. When Paul discussed the observance of specific days as being special days, Romans chapter 14, he instructed that those who observe special days do it in honor to the Lord. Romans 14 and verse 6. So he would come back to explain that those who eat meat eat it in honor of the Lord, while at the same time there was those who would not eat meat, and they were doing it for the same reason, in honor of the Lord. So in Romans 14 and verse 5, Paul said that each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. Be fully convinced that whatever you are doing, whether it is considered a special day or not considered a special day, whether you choose to eat meat or choose not to eat meat, whatever you do, be fully convinced in yourself that the reason you choose to be where you are is because you're trying to honor the Lord. And then act accordingly. Act accordingly to please your master. Listen to Romans chapter 14, verses 7 and 8. For no one, or not one of us, lives for himself and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. In other words, Paul's saying that all believers live out their lives accountable to God. If you choose to view a special day as a special day, you do it and you will account for it to God and to God alone. If you choose to eat meat, if you choose not to eat meat, that's your decision. But based upon your decision, you will give an account to God. Decisions about such matters as special days and the eating of meat are not made in isolation. They're not made in isolation because they're made in accordance with the will of God as understood by the individual making the decision. Each one making a decision in life and even in death. For even in death, believers maintain their relationship to God. So to live means to honor the Lord, and to die is no different. It means to honor the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, we belong to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 10. To live for Jesus, one must live accountable to God. So we ask the question this morning, are you willing to die for Jesus? And if you are willing to die for Jesus until you are called upon to do so, will you live for Him? The question of will you live for Him is more relevant than the opening question of will you die for Him? Because it removes the level of our dedication for Jesus from the unlikely, hypothetical, if it comes down to it, and puts it on the level of our dedication for Jesus on the day in and day out reality of our lives. So that this morning when we awoke, we had the decision to make, will I live today for Jesus? And the reality continues. Will you live tomorrow for Jesus? Will you live next week, next year? For Jesus. But even before we can get there, will you live the next hour for Jesus? Will you live the next moment for Jesus? The best indication of a truthful answer to that question of will you die for Jesus is one's willingness to live for Him. And the indication is so closely matched and intertwined that Paul brought the two ideas together when he wrote to the brethren at Philippi, as Brother Billy Daniels read for us, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I will not live for Christ, my death will not gain. If I plan to die for gain but will not live for Christ, there is no gain." So the challenge for you and I today is to give our lives over to follow Christ and then to live our lives for the Master and to live accountable to God. But how does one do that? How does one give their life over? Jesus spoke in a parable about different souls that represented different hearts which had the opportunity to hear the word of the kingdom. Concluding that parable, he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Matthew 13 and verse 9. Jesus wants you to hear. And Jesus said to some who were living in the world, and more importantly, at that time, we're living like the world. He said, "You will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He," referring to Himself being the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one sent into the world to be the Savior of the world, the one who was indeed God. He said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." John 8:24. Are you hearing what Jesus is calling upon you to listen to? You must believe. Jesus, in fact, told his chosen men, the 11 remaining apostles at that time, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Mark 16 and verse 16. It is a matter of life and death, eternally speaking. That is the matter of your belief and what you do because of that belief. Jesus asked in Luke chapter 13 and verse 2, "Do you suppose that these Galileans, some who had been killed and their blood mixed with their own sacrifices by Pilate," Jesus said, "do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate?" In other words, do you believe that one sinner suffers and another sinner does not suffer because of the level of one's sins? Jesus answered his own question, saying, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Luke 13, 3. In other words, you will pay for your sins. And so, Jesus would make a great offer, a great invitation. When in Matthew chapter 10, he was telling the true meaning of discipleship, he included these statements about confessing Him. A confession that's not only a verbal statement and acknowledgement, but a day-to-day living for Him. He said, "Everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Calling upon all of those who are willing to confess Jesus, willing to live a life for them, the words that Jesus shared with Nicodemus ring true. For Nicodemus was one who believed that Jesus had come from God. He also believed that God was with him, was with Jesus. This believer was told, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus did not understand how being born again could be accomplished, so Jesus explained it. John 3 and verse 5, "I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit," referring to being baptized, "he cannot enter the kingdom of God." You can give your life over today by being baptized. Then you can live for your Master, the one to whom you give your life. You're living for the audience of one. And so it's a great challenge in the Christian's Pledge, which is an interesting piece of writing. Unfortunately, the author of it is unknown. It gives the challenge for us to live for our Master. The Christian's Pledge has these words, "I will do more than belong. I will participate. I will do more than care. I will help. I will do more than believe. I will practice. I will do more than be fair. I will be kind. I will do more than forgive. I will work. I will do more than earn. I will enrich. I will do more than teach. I will inspire. I will do more than give. I will serve. I will do more than live. I will grow. I will do more than be friendly. I will be a friend." Be a friend to Jesus, who said in John 15, verse 14, "You are my friends if you do what I command you." And as you live for your Master, live as being accountable to God. And to God alone. Honor the Lord in all that you do. Glorify the Lord in all that you say. live as one accountable to God who will give an answer for the life that has been lived. It's easy for us to say, I will die for Jesus, if it's that unlikely, hypothetical, if it comes down to it situation. And having never been put in such a position before, it's made even easier for us to say, I would. But it's a lot more difficult when we consider that in order to die for Him, you must first live for Him. If this morning you are willing to do that, you are willing not only to die for Jesus, but to live for Him, you can give your life over. Give your life over and be baptized this morning. If you've already been baptized, you still can give your life over to Him again by making those necessary corrections, seeking forgiveness for those things that have caused you not to live for Him. And then live every day choosing to live for your Master and choosing to live accountable to His will so that you may have the confidence and the blessed assurance that when called into judgment, your Master will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. This morning, if you are subject to the Lord's invitation, He invites you to come as we stand to sing and encourage you.